is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusa in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The rancorous debate over the debt ceiling playing out in Washington and in the media stands in stark contrast to the conversations Krista Tippett has on her show On Being, which airs Sunday mornings at 6 here on WBUR.
Tippett is a master of the civil conversation, even around our society's most contentious debates. Who is God? When does life begin? What is equality, and who should ensure it? A couple of years ago, Tippett began a series of interviews with people who not only talk about these issues, but who talk about how to talk about these issues without slipping into personal attacks.
She calls this the Civil Conversations Project. We're going to be airing these interviews as part of a special series here on WBUR later this month. And Krista Tippett recently spoke to us from the American Public Media Studios in St. Paul, Minnesota.
What is it about this moment in history, Krista, that made you think that you needed to take out some of these conversations that you've had in your program and compile them into a series and consider them as a unit?
Well, we started kind of experimenting with this back during the last election. And then we got more serious about it after the Tucson shootings. If you recall, what I was very aware of at that time is a lot of wonderful language entered our public vocabulary after the Tucson shootings. We were suddenly talking about gaining moral imagination and social healing and civic dialogue. But what I was aware of is that we don't know how to do that anymore, right? We don't have the basic tools. We don't have models. And I was aware that if we didn't come up with some of that, if we didn't come up with real practical virtues and habits of living to accompany those beautiful words, it wouldn't go anywhere. And sadly, you know, I think that's where we are right now in 2011, that we certainly have not seen something else modeled. It's broken down in terms of how we speak about difficult things and treat each other along the way. So we started coming at this from some different directions, including some of those hot-button issues.
One of the conversations that comes to mind for me is your interview with the evangelical theologian Richard Mau,
right,
who is a notable opponent of gay marriage. And in his interview with you, he talked about how conservative evangelicals in particular need to temper the way they engage the public debate on controversial issues. Let's listen to some of that.
I mean, I could go write the Bible verses. You know, the first epistle of the Apostle Peter, a verse that gets used all the time among evangelicals. Be ready at any time to give a reason for the hope that lies within you of anyone who asks it of you, you know. And we've always said that. You know, we've always got to be making the case. We've always got to be defending our beliefs against people who disagree with us. But we saw them go on and quote the next part of that verse, which is, and do so with gentleness and reverence, you know. And I've often thought how different our theological and even our interreligious disagreements would get played out if we constantly said to ourselves, I've got to treat the other person with gentleness and reverence.
Now, Krista, Mau obviously was of this very delightful interview and a very sweet man, but I imagine a lot of gay listeners heard that and thought, so he's going to keep working to deny me my civil rights, but he's going to do it with gentleness and reverence. So, yay!
Yeah. We did have some interesting encounters after that interview, starting with people who were very upset by it, which we got, right, which I understood. It was also around the time that Tyler Clementi committed suicide. Mm. But we had some amazing exchanges that happened. You know, we had a mother who said, after hearing that, she said, you know, my son is gay. I don't approve, and I'm estranged from him, and I hadn't spoken with him, and I listened to this man, and I now have a relationship with my son again. Hadn't changed her mind, probably, about the morality of his sexual orientation, but the relationship is there, and that, you know, that is transformative and the beginning of living differently.
Well, Krista, just to push on the point a little bit, explain what you see as the value of civil discourse being when the underlying differences that we may be arguing about could be irreconcilable.
Right. Well, that's the point. You've touched on it. That's where we've gotten stuck, because we Americans are problem solvers, right? And what we want to do is get on the same page. And in lieu of that, we will take a vote, and there will be winners and losers, and we'll move forward. You know, we are turn-of-century people. We are reframing basic assumptions and definitions, including when life begins and when death begins, and what is a marriage and what is a family. And these are not things that are going to be resolved anytime soon. So I think that the challenge for civil conversations and a civil culture is precisely that question. How can we treat each other with dignity and maintain our own dignity, right? Because when we treat others without dignity, we lose our own, okay? And we're seeing this played out inside the Beltway. How can we treat each other with dignity while we continue to disagree? And that's a big challenge, and it's something a lot bigger than tolerance, which just told us we have to stay in the same country and endure those other people. That, you know, and we see where that's gotten us.
But with civil, non-confrontational dialogue, do we risk papering over things that we really should be energized about in our differences? You know, when you think about an issue like abortion, which you take up with Frances Kissling of Catholics for Choice in this series, you know, on one side you have a group of people who believe that a fertilized egg is imbued with an immortal soul, and another group of people who don't. What common ground is there? It's not an empirical question. It can't be answered. So what common ground is there?
And it's not about common ground. One of the most important moments for me in this series is with Frances Kissling. This seeking common ground gets us into trouble. Can I read this?
Sure,
I just happened to have this with you. She said, I think that common ground can be found between people who do not have deep, deep differences.
Well, let's actually listen to what she said next. This is Frances Kissling, the longtime president of Catholics for Choice, speaking to you as part of your Civil Conversation series.
To think that you are going to take the National Conference of Catholic Bishops and the National Organization of Women, and they are going to find common ground on abortion, is not practical. But I do think that when people who disagree with each other come together with a goal of gaining a better understanding of why the other believes what they do, good things come of that. But the pressure of coming to agreement works against really understanding each other.
That's Frances Kissling, someone on the front lines of the abortion debate for many, many years.
In some ways, what these great conversations that I've had with these wise people do is they let us step back from feeling like we have to solve the problem, and they give us a different place, which is humbler and more practical and more down to earth. But it can actually reframe how we are in this crisis, and it opens up new possibilities for where we can get eventually.
Krista Tippett, we look forward to hearing these conversations, and thank you so much for talking to us about them.
Well, thank you.
The Civil Conversations Project with Krista Tippett will air on WBUR later this month. Check out our schedule at WBUR.org.
And tomorrow on Radio Boston, Music and More Music, we'll take a close look at the history and music of the Newport Folk and Jazz Festivals. That's tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com.
Our show is produced by Jessica Alpert, Dan Mossy, and Jason Breslow. This week, we're receiving extra help from producer Anna Pinkert. Our interns are Amory Sievertson and Katie Enders.
Jeremy Bernfeld is our web producer, and Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Adam Ragusa. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.